Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I don't live with some dream of what used to be or a has been. I don't look back on somebody who used to teach on a hillside somewhere and then just disappeared into oblivion. But I rest in Jesus Christ, who is alive forevermore. You may be seated for a few minutes. I'm reading from the book of St. John, chapter number 19. And we are in the middle of the crucifixion. It's not just a week before or an hour before, but Jesus has been hanging on the cross. He's been hanging there for almost 6 hours in excruciating pain, lifting himself up by pressing on the nails on his feet and pulling on the nails through his wrist. He has been suffocating because the pressure has been building up on his heart. He's been suffering congestive heart failure. He has been suffering because the oxygen is cut off when he's hanging down. And he has been breathing the last breaths of his mortal existence for a purpose, for a design. And at the end, in John 19 and 28, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. This was their way of giving him something that would push him away from consciousness so that he wouldn't feel the pain. But if you'll notice, it was sour wine. It was bitterness. The world could only give bitterness to push away the pain that was in life. What bitterness is holding aught against what has happened to us. And sometimes for a while, that feels good because we're angry. And the anger reduces endorphins, and it reduces that energy that gives us a little bit of a high. But Jesus refused the bitterness of the world, as we must refuse the bitterness of the world. And with full consciousness, in verse 30 it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." It is finished. To finish a project is fulfilling. To finish a workday is gratifying. To finish a term paper, we release a sigh and are thankful. And surely when we finish a course of study and receive a degree, it is a great reward. The degree was the reward for finishing the course of study. We had a rule at our dinner table when our children were small. If you finish your main dish, you can have dessert. Dessert was not part of the dinner, but the reward for a finished dinner. An automobile is released from the factory only after it has been completed or finished. A building has not been finished unless the inspector has stamped the plans and said, "You can move in." A half-painted house is not finished. And Easter Sunday, April 14th, 2021, has not yet ran its course. We have experienced some things today, but the day is still in progress. You may have had your breakfast or morning coffee to pick you up, but the Spirit of God is not finished working. You and I will leave this place planning to celebrate, maybe with family and friends. Perhaps there's a dinner cooking in the oven, and we may have more activities planned, but the day won't be finished for more than 12 hours, perhaps even longer. Jesus walked on this earth for 33 years or a little more. He prayed, taught, listened, healed, revealed, delivered, got tired and hungry and forgave sins, yet ministering hope. But when Judas betrayed Jesus, they carried him away to judgment, the beginning of the most important spiritual battle of all times. They had arrested him, imprisoned him. And just so you know, as they were going to take him away, Peter took out his sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. I think he missed, and he intended to do more damage. But he took a sword toward the guy that was the only one probably that did not have a sword. We are not called to fix the world. We're not called to push back against the government. But we are called to die out to our own self, that we can live for Christ, so that we can be ambassadors of Christ. Jesus said, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. This is the reason I am here, is to go to Calvary. They pressed him into his cross, the place of the skull. They nailed him to the cross. They mocked him. They forgave the thief, but they cried out against the innocent man. He grieved out loud over his perceived abandonment. Just before the scripture we read, he had said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so the man, Christ Jesus, felt abandoned. But oh, I am so glad he said those words in John 19 and 30. It is finished. It is finished. And then the Bible says he gave up the ghost. This death, he rejoiced in his death. They thrust him through with a spear and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. You see, dying was the difficult part. Raising again is the easy part. So it is for you and I. Dying out to ourselves is very, very difficult. The raising again is easy because if the same Spirit lives in us that lives in Christ Jesus, he will quicken our mortal bodies. In Isaiah 53, we find probably the most complete descriptive explanation of what happened on Calvary. In Isaiah 53 and 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen to the Amplified translation that gives some adjectives and adverbs. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with his stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. I declare it is time to let Calvary and the resurrection speak for you. We can't defend our own sinful living. We can't defend ourselves and say, powers of darkness, I am great and I am an overcomer. But oh, Calvary can. We can say through Calvary, through the resurrection, I am an overcomer. I think of Matthew chapter 28, and I'm not going to read the first four verses, but the first four verses talk about the women coming to the tomb, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and the Bible says that the men that were guarding the tomb fell over like dead men. It's interesting that the women that came seeking Jesus didn't fall over like dead people. But the guards that were trying to keep the disciples from stealing his body or him from coming out fell over. And in verse 5 of Matthew 28, we read, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where he laid. So he says, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. That's good news for you and me, is he always does exactly what he said he was going to do. What has he promised you through his word? What has he promised you through prayer and seeking his face and a private word to you? What has he promised you through a prophetic utterance? He will do it. And then the declaration or the command was given in verse 7. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. I want to say to us today, in this conflicting day where there is fear, there can be great joy. Where those that are not resting in Christ are fearful of a virus that may kill them, fearful of the violence of the on the street that may take their life, we can say we can live in fear but yet have great joy. He has given you and I the joy of the Holy Ghost. In the last part of that chapter, after the resurrection, Matthew kind of puts it together and he gives a picture of Jesus just before his ascension and the words that he would say later. So we're missing about 40 days in here where Jesus is showing himself mighty and revealing things that had been hidden from the foundation of the world. But after his resurrection and just before his ascension, Matthew 28 and 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee," because Judas is gone, "to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, All power is and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." I want to say something. Please don't misunderstand me. We believe there is only one God. That's what the Bible teaches. But God robed himself in flesh for a purpose. And if you read your Old Testament scripture, all the way back to the days of Cain and Abel, there had to be a sacrifice to cover sin. There was a blood sacrifice. It was a lamb for atonement. It had to be spotless, without blemish. But Jesus was spotless. His blood was pure because God was his Father. And his body was pure because even though he could have sinned, he did not sin. And he lived through this life. He bled and he died. But when he rose again, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." That's why he sits on the right hand of the throne of majesty on high. That's why there's one sitting on the throne. That's why one is going to come in the clouds with power and great glory with him. That's why one is going to come with his vesture dipped in blood and his name written on it. That power is working where it was designed to work, in the hearts of men. And because of his resurrection, we can say with the Apostle Paul, as he did in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." The power that Jesus had was power over death, power over sin, power over the grave, power over eternal damnation. Nobody could give you and I eternal life but Jesus. But he was saying to them, "I've got it. I've got the authority. I have the power." And today you and I can say, "I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Why? Because of his resurrection. We, you and I, because of that, need to speak to some things today. We need to speak by the authority of Calvary and by the authority of the empty tomb and by the authority of the Word of God. We need to speak to disbelief, anger, fear, pain, mistreatment, discomfort, and inconvenience. If you are sick, the doctors say you will not get well. You need to say, "By his stripes, I am healed." I got a phone call and I missed it, and then I said, "I'll call you later," and I got a text because I was on the phone, and then I got a call later and it was Sister Phyllis. Sister Phyllis, most of you do not know, was born with one leg backwards from the knee down. She did not walk till she was 5 years old, and after multiple surgeries, she's had pain in that knee all of her life. And while she was here Tuesday night, we had healing during the service, and she said the pain went away. And then she did what most of us do. I'm not condemning her. She said, "You know, sometimes we don't feel the pain," and we say, "Well, let's wait this out and see how it is." So she waited it out for all day Wednesday, and all day Wednesday she didn't have any pain. And she waited it out for Thursday and half the day Thursday, and she went for a half mile or a mile walk on Thursday at lunch, and she called my wife because I didn't answer the phone, and she said, I have no pain, no pain. After 50 years of living with pain, he is the healer. And she texted me yesterday because she's out of town and she's in California. And she said, I've walked all over the beach today for more than an hour and I have no pain in my knee. Let Calvary speak to you. Let the resurrection speak to you. Let the resurrection speak. I am free. I am new. I am whole. I am complete. I will be finished. God isn't done with you and me yet. He's not finished with this world yet. It's not hardly over. It's not going to be over until he says that it's over. We need to speak to the elements of addiction and bondage and neediness and transgression that supports the neediness that we have because of addiction. Because you're sitting here in this house today, and there'll be even more in second service that can say, I was bound by alcohol. I was bound by drugs. I was bound by pornography. I was bound by substances. I was bound by abuse. That's where I used to live. But I'm free because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am free indeed. Elements of spiritual bondage come to mankind. Fear, confusion, discomfort, turmoil. It all comes, but it's time to let the resurrection speak for you. Just let Jesus say, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Just let his words, it is finished, ring out in your heart and in your spirit and in your mind. Declare it to the enemy. It is finished. God's doing a work in me. God has changed me. He has not left me. He has all power. If you do not know for sure that you're submitted to Jesus and that you have found salvation, it's time to let Calvary speak to you today. There is a way to Calvary through repentance from dead works by saying, God, I'm done with this lifestyle. I'm done with sin. If you want to know what sin is, you can see me later or you can read Galatians 5:19 and it just reads it right out loud in verses 19 and 20. If you don't understand it in the King James, get an amplified version and it'll tell you about the drunkenness and the immorality and the hate and the variance and the strife and the sinfulness. But oh, the Bible says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified by the blood of the Lamb and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul writes this in Philippians 1 and 3, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. He's talking to the church. Now, he started the church at Philippi. It was wonderful. I was talking with Brother Joe and Justin Bigsby just yesterday about having Bible studies at Joe and Laura's home. And now the beautiful thing is that 20 years later, here is Lily. She's teaching a Bible study to Aubrey Welch, and Aubrey's going to get baptized in second service. So isn't that exciting? So that's what it's meant to be, is Brother Joe and Laura came from a dysfunctional past, but they built a family by the help of God, and now their family lives without any of those memories because they live under the shadow of the Almighty. And Paul's looking at the church, and I can look across this sanctuary, and just so you know, I'm not thinking about all the bad things you did every time I look at you, but I'm thinking of all the good things that God did to redeem you, to bring you to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I think he's thinking this way, and he says, I always pray for you, and I make my request a heart full of joy. Verse 5, because you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Jesus Christ comes back again. So when I look at you and me, I see what God has done, and I say, he hasn't done yet, but he's going to finish it. just like he came to the earth to live and bleed and die, and was able to say, "It is finished." One day when we go from this life into the next, he's going to check it off. He's going to look at the angel that keeps a record and said, "Finished. Did my work in Lily, did my work in Hosea, did my work in Daniel, did my work in Netanya. It's finished." And one day the Bible says in Jude 1 and 24, "Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." And as you stand with me, we're going to get ready in a minute. The chorale is going to sing one more song of praise about him reigning. But I'm going to tell you what we can do. It's time to get out in the aisle. It's time to come up to the front while they're singing and celebrate the fact that he reigns.
Hallelujah.
That he's risen. What's so big about that? Because that means he finished the work. He drew out the plan in eternity for your life and in my life. And we see an unfinished product, but he sees the end from the beginning. He knows the way that I take. And when it's finished, I'm going to wake in his likeness. So for the rest of our time together today, it's time to celebrate his goodness, because our God reigns. Praise you, Jesus.